The following audio is from White River Christian Church. More information about White River is available on the WRCC mobile app or at wrcc.org.
I'm excited to be able to bring God's word this morning. Grateful to Pastor Tim for just putting together some of these teaching teams so that our locations can go live every once in a while. So again, we're just grateful for that. Thank you for being a part of that this morning. Hey, we're going to ask God for some wisdom here in a second, but I thought we'd have some fun with some wisdom from the seat of a tractor. Got this from a friend of mine. I thought a couple of these things applied to our message today. Here's the first one. Life is simpler when you plow around the stump. If you find yourself in a hole, the first thing to do is stop digging. You've been to that one, right? Letting the cat out of the bag is a whole lot easier than putting it back in. Good judgment comes from experience, and a lot of that comes from bad judgment. Every path has a few puddles. Indeed. Live simply, love generously, care deeply, speak kindly, and leave the rest to God. Let's pray and ask Him for some wisdom this morning. Father God, thank you for your presence here with us this morning. Thank you for just leading us through your word this morning. Father, I just pray for your wisdom and discernment, Lord, as we share your word this morning. Father, please speak to our hearts, and Lord, help us to hear what you need us to hear. And Lord, just help me to step out of the way and allow you to speak. And God, we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in the summer of 1996, myself, my sister, and a really good friend of mine lived in an apartment complex down in Fishers, Indiana. And a really nice place. There was a little pond beside it. And it's actually the place where I proposed to my fiance at that time, and now my wife, Jana. I know, very romantic, right? But on the back deck with the grill, right? I hid the ring behind the grill, so it was kind of, you know, it worked out. But anyways, it was just a special place for us. And we were, this particular day, we were up at my dad's house in Kokomo, Indiana. And we were watching television, and on the television, we saw this apartment complex that was on fire. And it looked pretty bad. And I, as we looked a little closer, like looking at it, like, that kind of looks like our place. And so we kind of, you know, moved in a little closer to the situation, and indeed, it was our place. This top level was where our place was, and we called down to the office down there, and we said, hey, you know, what's the situation? And she says, we're sorry, sir, everything is lost. And so at that point in time, there's this huge, just sinking feeling within me at the time, this overwhelming, first time I kind of remember that overwhelming sense of loss, that something was gone that I could not hang on to. Days later, we had the opportunity to go back into the place, which as I look at it, I'm like amazed they let us back in there, but they did. And we went in there, and Jan and I put on, you know, we had the whole suit on, and we're flipping up charred remains of televisions and boards and all kinds of different things in there. It was just a mess. But anyway, the fire got most of it, the water got the rest of it, and the smoke got even more of it. So it was all wiped out in an instant. I want to look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, as we start this morning, if you turn there with me. Matthew 6, 19 through 21 is where we're going to focus on today. Matthew 6, 19. Verse 19 says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them. Right there, do you guys remember, you guys familiar with mothballs? Man, I remember this as a kid growing up. Like, you know, our shirt would have a hole in it and mom would be like, oh man, we got to get some mothballs in there and toss them in the closet, you know, and behind the beds and all that stuff. And man, those things stunk. Anyway, but also, you know, just rust, you know, you think of moth, or moth destroy and rust destroy, and I think of, makes me think of my grandpa's old blue truck that I learned to drive in down the dirt lanes. And I remember the old blue truck had rusted out in the floorboard of that, so when you're driving it, you know, you're literally looking at the ground as you're driving down the dirt path. But that's definitely true. Moth and rust will destroy. And thieves, where thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there your desire, the desires of your heart will be. Let me go back to verse 20. I think I skipped that. Store your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves break in, do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. This passage of scripture comes in the kind of series of passages, verse 5, 6, and 7 in Matthew. That's Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, one of the most popular sermons ever that Jesus gave to the people. And it's not an entirely new message. It was a message that many of them had heard over and over before in kind of some oral communication as they went from community to community, sharing, as he went from community to community, sharing these messages on what he was asking them to do. It's kind of interesting. My wife, a lot of times I'll say, hey, you mind reading through the sermon just to say, just to make sure I'm not totally off base somewhere in this and whatnot. And she read through it. And so I think it was Thursday or Friday. I asked her, I said, hey, you know, how was it and whatnot? She's like, it was all right. It's kind of like something we've heard before, I think. Like, really? I mean, I spent a lot of time on this thing. And so I was aggravated by it. But then she went to work, and I dug back in. I'm like, okay, well, maybe I didn't get it here. So I dug back in and started to explore this Sermon on the Mount a little bit. And one of the first things it said is, hey, this is not an entirely new message for the people that are hearing this message. And so I'm like, yeah, it's not entirely new. And same for us. You know, we hear these messages over and over. We go through this Kingdom Investment series, you know, year after year. But the problem is we don't do it, right? We hear it, but we don't do it. We hear it, but we don't live it, and nothing changes. And for me and you, that's the challenge, I think, for us this morning in these passages. In the Jewish context, Jesus was presented as a prophet. So essentially, he's asking the people to reconsider who God is and what his desire is for his creation. And his message is that God is our Father who sees and cares about the heart, not just the external righteous deeds and religion. He cares about our heart. We know that God wants to change our heart. He wants to reorient it. He wants to direct it toward him so that we'll be faithful followers of him. To the Romans and Greeks, Jesus was kind of viewed as a wise philosopher. He was always inviting people into ways of being in the world and ways that would truly offer real life to them. This is wisdom from God, inviting them through faith to reorient their values, their vision, their habits, from ways of external righteousness to wholeheartedness toward God. So kind of, hey, I want you to move from the external to the internal. I want you to change. I want your heart to change, and here's how you can do that. And for us, Jesus is inviting us into this life of God's kingdom, both now and forever. The last thing about the Sermon on the Mount that I found interesting was that it was meant to be memorized. This Matthew 5, 6, and 7 was put together in such a way by the writer that it was meant to be memorized. And to be a disciple was to memorize the teacher, the communicator's teachings, and to live those out in your life. And so this is what Jesus was attempting to do, and we knew that to be a disciple was to memorize, to live this out. And so the Sermon on the Mount was put together because of that. And so I'm going to kind of take that challenge. I might try to do that this next week, just to kind of read through it. I haven't read through it like 5, 6, and 7, like in that kind of rhythm before, so I'm going to try to do that this week and just see what God has for us in that. Over the last couple weeks, been talking about kingdom investments. Why do I give was the first message, kind of because God has given us so much. We talked about how God owns all of it. It's all his. So we're just giving back a portion of what he's given us. How much do I give? Robert shared his story with us, and I'm real grateful for that, to hear his heart and how God has changed his life. He talked about that 10%. Remember, he talked about, what if Jesus only gave 10%? I would still be lost, and we would still be lost. And today we're kind of headed toward that final question that hopefully really hits home for all of us, is that, what happens when I give? What happens when I give? How will my life be different? What will change in my life when I give? When I give those three things that we've been focusing on, when I give my time, when I give my talents, when I give my treasures, what will happen when I do that? When I lay up my treasure in heaven instead of laying it here on this earth. So I want to go back to that apartment story here for just a second. I mean, I was certainly focused on laying up my treasure on this earth. I had just come out of college. I was making some money. I was acquiring some things. We were going to get married here soon, and things were starting to happen. I was living life. And then all of a sudden, I quickly realized that those things I had that I was laying up here on earth were only temporary, and they wouldn't last. So only then did I really begin to consider what will last in this world. What would last for eternity? What could I look toward? What would withstand all the fire and the smoke and the water damage that we had just encountered? And a small piece of my heart began to change. It began to reorient the way back to the way God had made it. And how did he do it? He used people. You know, that's what God does many times. He'll use people to connect with your heart. And he did that very thing. I remember after the fire, we had so many people step into our lives. Of course, our family was there, and they had given my sister and I some money to get back on our feet. We had our local, the office, the actual apartment office was incredible. They had taken up donations, and they had created like this store inside the office complex, and we would just we were invited in to walk through and just kind of pick out whatever we needed to get back started again. I mean, it was just like a walking into Walmart, you know, 101. So it was there and it was available. And then we also had our local church back home that really helped us in amazing ways. And that was probably had the biggest impact on me, because we were, you know, at that point in time, I wasn't attending very often. I mean, I was just out of college and I'd gotten out of that rhythm, maybe Christmas and Easter and whenever there wasn't a good football game on, right? So, but that's where I was. But what really dumbfounded me is how much they loved me and cared for me despite that. You know, a few weeks ago, Tim talked about just those percentages and those numbers of, you know, a lot of people just go to church maybe once a month. And I was in that category. But I wasn't judged for that. I wasn't treated that way. I was loved and cared for. And literally, they took up an offering and presented it to us. And I was just changed my heart. I didn't feel like, man, I don't want to go there because people are going to think this of me. Like some of you might be feeling that today. You know, I haven't been here in a while. Should I come? Yes, you should, because you're still loved and cared for. Just like I was. And they looked at me like I had been there every week. And they had cared for me just like I'd been there every week. And what it caused was I wanted to go back more. I wanted to be a part of this community. I wanted to be a part of what God was doing in this gathering of people even more. You know, I definitely had my treasure stored up. I was focused on my treasure on earth and not in eternity. So wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. A lot of hearts flying around this week. Valentine's Day, I hope that went well for everybody. I know it could go either way. So hopefully everybody had a decent Valentine's Day and all that good stuff. I want to kind of look at what does our heart have to do with our treasure? What's the connection? And Scripture reminds us that the heart is the control center of life. The person's life is kind of a reflection of their heart. What's on the inside begins to come out in your actions and your words and the way you conduct your life. Proverbs 4:23 reminds us, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. To guard your heart from what this world is throwing at it. The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah said, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? And so we're all capable of being led astray, of storing up treasures on earth. So we must guard our hearts and watch over them and follow our hearts, follow after the things of God and not the things of this world. Because there's so many things that we can get distracted by and begin to lose our focus. In the Bible, there's plenty of examples of people who have laid up their treasure for themselves upon this earth. I want to look at a couple examples of that this morning. And it kind of shows where their heart truly was. One is the story of Achan that we've heard before, where Achan and the Israelite army are told by God to go and take down the city of Jericho. And he says, go take down the city, but don't touch any of the treasures that are there. Don't take any of them for yourself. Bring everything back. Do as I command. And Achan doesn't do that. He goes and he's obviously enticed by the riches of this world, and he takes some of the things and he comes back and ends up, basically, God allows them to be defeated the next time they go out at Ai, and it eventually destroys Achan in his heart. He followed the riches of the world instead of honoring God. And then the story of the rich young ruler who was not willing to let go of the wealth he had obtained for eternity, for eternal life. He asked, "What does it take for me to have eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, you love your neighbor, and goes through the commandments, love your neighbor." This, and this. He's like, well, I've done all that stuff. And you kind of hear the pride in his voice just a little bit. Like, I've done all that. I've gone to church. I've gone to Bible study. I've served. I've done all the things I was supposed to do, right? But he said, okay, well, then then get rid of everything you have and follow me. They said, oh, I can't do that. I'm not willing to exchange all of this for something I can't even see. And so he leaves it there. He leaves it there. He's unwilling to exchange the riches of this world for the riches of eternity with Jesus. So how about us? Where's our treasure being stored up today? Where are we storing our treasure? Are your investments being made here on earth, or are they being made in heaven? When you store up your treasure in heaven instead of on earth, God's word says in Matthew 10, he says, you'll find your life. In Matthew 16, he says, you'll save your life. And then in Matthew 6, he says, you'll have everything you need. Matthew 6, 33 says, seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. First Timothy 6, verse 17. It says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. And you know, when you look at the world as a whole, we all, to a certain extent, have so many more things in this world than others do. So I think we can all relate. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, so that they may experience true life. There was a missionary by the name of Jim Elliot who gave his life for so many others, and he might have put it best. He says, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. So what happens when I give, when I make kingdom investments? You know, the last 17 years, being a part of the White River community and just our community here in Noblesville, I've seen these investments used in many, many ways. Both physical and spiritual needs have been met in a number of ways. People are blessed and encouraged. I've seen so many people just be blessed by the presence of Christ followers just being engaged in their lives. And they're just encouraged. Maybe there's nothing tangible that can be done, but you're just someone sitting with you and being present in your life, and you just need that in that particular time and place. Lives have certainly been changed for eternity, and sometimes we don't always know what happens when we make a kingdom investment. We just don't know what God's going to do with it, and that's not our job to know. God knows, and our job is to be faithful and committed to what he has asked us to do with our time, our talents, and our treasures. When we store up our treasures in heaven, I think about a trip we took several years ago when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans. And I remember our first team going down there and us being rerouted one day because there was another hurricane coming into New Orleans. And so we were rerouted to Biloxi, Mississippi. And they told us it was very bad down there and there's a lot of damage, some of the most damaged area of the storm. And I remember driving down in there, and I was driving one of the trucks down through there. We had kind of a caravan going, and I remember coming down this one street and seeing all these people kind of lined up in the street to receive food and water. And I remember seeing just piles of rubble, probably at least this high or higher. I mean, just all the way lined up down the street. Just everything people owned their entire lives just laying there in rubble in the streets. And then as we went on down the street, we got to the end of the road, kind of where the water meets the road. That's the saying, isn't it? Where the water meets the road down at the end. And I remember looking over to the left and kind of getting a glimpse of this and seeing this casino tilted on its side and halfway down in the water and half of it out of the water and a big casino sign right on the side of it. And I thought, boy, you cannot take that stuff with you. You cannot store up treasure on this earth and it's not going to last. And it's just a picture that will be just etched in my mind. When you store up your talents in eternity, I think of many of the orthodontists that I had the opportunity to serve and work with over the years before I became a full-time pastor. And I think of, you know, they had, as far as this world goes, they had quite a bit. I mean, they had probably anywhere from $500,000 to $2 million was kind of the range of the orthodontists that we work with. About 100 orthodontists that I served in Indiana. And some of them, I mean, frivolously just used that money for whatever. Others of them made some huge kingdom investments. One in particular that I remember would take, for a couple weeks, would take his whole group, his whole office to Haiti, and they would fix kids' teeth. And they would do it for nothing. They're not spending 2 more weeks making money. They were helping kids have better teeth and to be happy. And I just never forget that. I think of those people who are making kingdom investments. This one, storing up our time, is real personal, and I think I want to share this with you this morning. Something I was completely unaware of over the years, and this is, I just want to preface this, could be any of us, and probably is a lot of us. We have made kingdom investments into people's lives, and we're present in people's lives, and God has multiplied that, and I want to share something with you that hopefully will encourage you today. I got this email a few weeks back. It says, "Derek, I'm sure you don't remember me, but recently the Lord brought you to mind and has prompted me to reach out. My maiden name is Hobson. I grew up in the WRCC youth ministry. You were my youth pastor and baptized me in the summer of 2005 at Camp Allendale. I wanted to say thank you for making such an impact on my life at a young age. A few months later, I moved to Texas, but I am 26 now and working at an amazing Christian university while also getting a degree in intercultural studies. I met my husband in Berlin, Germany, while on the ground sharing the gospel, and we are now preparing to launch as full-time missionaries in Berlin and southern Germany to a largely atheist population. All this to say, I vividly remember how engaged you were with your students, and I would not be where I am in ministry today if not for people like you who said yes to a call from God. Thank you." Now, you know, back in the middle school days, I mean, it was hard to tell what was going on in anybody's life. I mean, you were banging your head against the wall literally at times. Like, God, is this, are you sure this is where you want me to be? Am I doing anything here? And so to get something like that is absolutely dumbfounding to me. And shame on me, because God is at work in our lives. And if anything proves that, I mean, it's right there. You know, I mean, and I didn't start to think about, what if I said no? I could have said, God give us free will. We can make our own decisions. Now, I felt like I'd have been disobedient if I'd have said no back then and said yes to the world. Yes to more things, or yes to more higher level in the company, and you know, Jan and I had that opportunity to move to California and become product manager, and that was the road to go, you know. And God just intervened, and I made a decision to follow Him, even though I did not have it all figured out. I made a decision to put my time, talents, and treasures into something I had no idea what was going to be like. And just to get a letter like that was just absolutely stunning to me. I can't imagine what He's going to do through that, and how He's going to use their lives and how it's multiplied. And He's doing the same thing in you guys' lives. It's not just about becoming a pastor. It's not becoming a church leader. It's about becoming who God made you to be. And to use those time, talent, and treasures that He has given each of you in whatever role He has put you in. Because He was definitely using me in that role as a salesperson for orthodontics. I had several conversations with doctors and their staff about Jesus and prayed with them and listened to them. I mean, all those kind of things were happening. And I haven't gotten any letters from them, but I'm trusting that God's doing something, and He'll continue to do His good work until it's finished. And I tell you that hopefully to just encourage you that God is at work, and to be faithful in planting those time, talent, and treasures into people's lives. So what happens when you give? Many things you could never even imagine. And our role is to be faithful in the giving, trusting the Lord with the outcomes, trusting Him with the outcomes. Many of you here in our cafe community have made significant kingdom investments. And some are seen and some are unseen. And it hasn't been easier or simple to make those investments. I think of people that have been foster parents who have ran for crazy amounts of miles for clean water, who've adopted children, who've sponsored children, who've given sacrificially to the local church, who've blessed others with resources for a number of reasons, who've given time that you couldn't even imagine behind the scenes, that you'll never even know about, but God knows about it. And He is faithful. You know, I was asked, how has it changed me? And you heard a little bit of that, but just I think about a few things. Just changed my priorities, perspective, and prayers. Of course, it has to be three things and it has to be an acronym or something, right? But I think of priorities. You've heard a little bit about that. You know, we just shifted our focus and changed our priorities, that we were going to be about things of eternity and not things of this world. Now, let me tell you this. It ain't got all figured out. So you can ask my wife. I mean, we struggle with all kinds of stuff. But that's our focus. That's our direction. Perspective. Changed our perspective just on looking at people and seeing people the way God sees them. Definitely changed our prayers. I think of the kids that my wife and I and our girls and other kids have adopted. Or not adopted, but sponsored overseas. And we pray for them every night before dinner. They're part of our family. Like, they're not physically sitting there, but they're there in our thoughts and our prayers and our focus. And I think that's a huge thing in our lives, you know, to get the focus off of ourselves. Because if we don't, we're definitely going to be looking internally. What's in it for me? Why can't I have that stuff? What else do I need? And we begin, those time, talents, and treasures begin to dig deep roots into this world. But if we're focused on others, and that's where the joy and the peace and the purpose comes in, when we have those opportunities to give sacrificially in certain situations, and that's the hard part, is you got to get to that point, and that's the hardest part. You know, it's kind of like you're up against it, kind of like when I ran cross country. I told you that before, and I know you don't believe me, but I did. But when I ran cross country, they talk about hitting a wall, and that was there, man. Every time you'd be like, man, I think I hit the wall. Sometimes for me, I was like 2 miles in, but you hit that wall, and you just got to push through it, and once you get on the other side of it, you feel a little bit better, you know, in cross country. Now, you feel a little bit of peace, you feel more purpose, you feel more joy when you get through that wall, and you get to that point where I'm gonna give sacrificially, and I'm going to trust God with the outcome. I don't need to know all the details of it. I just want to do what God wants me to do. I want to share a couple stories from I appreciate these folks giving me some feedback. I had sent out an email about that, and I want to share a couple stories from the cafe just focused on this. And this one says, we joined the cafe shortly after it opened, and we're doing just fine as observers on Sunday. We like the laid-back atmosphere the cafe offered, especially as we are regularly at least 5 minutes late to service, but in the cafe, that is considered on time. Amen, right? We have a unique service here at the cafe. Sure, we gave our treasures to the church and other ministries we felt called to, but it was a busy time for us. My husband had recently opened his business, and we were very busy keeping up with our active, outgoing toddler. We're just too busy at this stage in life, and serving at the church would have to wait and come at another life stage later on. That was until I saw how my son literally ran into the cafe to get his donut every Sunday and happily talked to everyone who approached him. These early childhood years are the prime time to establish a love for God and for his community. I felt called to lead by example and volunteer to greet in the cafe. The first few times I explained to my son why I had to leave early for church so people could feel welcome. Then we started getting ready earlier to come all at once as a family, and my son was interested in being my helper. Shortly after that, I let him take the lead, and he enthusiastically would say, hello, welcome to the cafe, and passed out bulletins to every person who glanced his way. He was an absolute hoot. He made lots of people smile, laugh, and learned how to properly give a firm handshake. He even got his very own official WRCC name tag, complete with his picture. It was truly touching and fun to witness my son serving. I signed up to greet, to be a good example to my son, but in the end, he was the one who taught me. You're never too busy. If I would have waited for a more convenient season of life, I would have missed out on watching my son bless so many people with his time and treasure. This other one says, this week's message is definitely one that resonates close to my heart. It is one that God has been speaking to me repeatedly over the last 3 years. I started in February 2016 when I kept hearing God repeat this message to my heart to share his word with others. I would hear him in messages, spoke at WRCC and in the stillness while reading his word. After pushing away what I was pretty sure he was calling me to do, I finally realized yes was the only answer I needed to and should give. In February 2016, I started a group on Facebook where each morning I would share scripture along with words of encouragement from what God taught me during my quiet time and with him each morning. I know that through that intimate time spent with him, he is cultivating my heart, growing gifts within me I didn't know existed, all inspiring me to speak of his awesomeness with an opportunity to glorify him. From this 3-year journey, I know he has more planned for me, and I can't wait to experience that all and watch that all unfold. God is at work in your lives, and are we putting this investment of time, talent, and treasure in the right place? I want to go to one last scripture. It's Matthew 13, verse 44. And these two passages, verse 44 and 45, are Jesus speaking again and trying to explain what the kingdom of heaven is like to the people. Verse 44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he did it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it." You know, I think these two people figured it out. And when they figured it out, they exchanged all they had for God's kingdom. They shifted their mindset and started to move their investments into eternity. And that's what God's asked us to do. You know, I think over our lives we have these moments where God speaks clearly to us to help us get through that wall and to begin to place our investments in eternity with him. And that first step is confessing Jesus as our Lord and Savior and committing to our lives to him. And then we begin to faithfully follow him, and he begins to start using our lives in powerful ways and starting to plant seeds in other people's lives and changing our lives and changing our hearts little by little. And I was just trying to think, why is it so hard to make these decisions? Why is it so hard to push through that wall? And a couple things came to mind. First of all, one I can see and the other I can't. Most of the time, when we make kingdom investments, it's something we can't necessarily see. I mean, I certainly couldn't see what was going on in Bridget's life after she had been involved in our student ministry all those, 13 years ago or whatever it was. So many times we can't see those kingdom investments. We can see those earthly investments and what happens there. And sometimes God uses those to connect with people. I'm not saying that. Just hear me on that. But those kingdom investments, how he uses those for eternity to change people's lives. And the other one is FOMO. That's a new little lingo, millennial lingo that I'm using these days. Fear of missing out. That's a big time right there, isn't it? Social media, man, so-and-so's got this, or so-and-so's going here, or I need to be doing this or that. I don't want to miss out. I mean, yeah, I'll give a little bit, but I ain't missing out on the rest of that stuff. Come on. There's a powerful pull there, right? But what are we missing out on in eternity? What are we missing out on with God when we're unwilling to exchange the things of this world for the things of eternity with him? Maybe that should be more of a concern for us than anything else. It's not a sin to have nice things. It's definitely not. And it's not bad. It's not a sin to enjoy time with your family and to go on vacation and enjoy time with friends. Those are good things. Those are life things. And Jesus obviously spent a lot of time with people, and he was involved in a lot of weddings and parties and celebrations, and he lived life. But when it came time to what is God asking me to do? In that moment, you think about that pearl and that field. When that moment came, what will you do with what I'm asking you to do now? What is your decision going to be now? And so I'd really encourage you to think about that and to notice those opportunities when he puts them in your path and to just see what happens and just to push through that wall and say, you know what, I'm going to make a kingdom investment. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it looks like. I'm going to trust God with the outcome of it. I'm going to make a real kingdom investment. One writer put it this way, and when I read it, you could almost hear the sigh in his voice. You know, that FOMO, that fear of missing out, maybe we're looking at that the wrong way. And his words, he said, that they chose the world for their reward over their reward in heaven. That they chose the world for their reward over their reward in heaven. My prayer is that we would choose eternity. We would choose the reward that lasts forever. Something that is going to be there when we get there. Not something that we're going to leave behind. Jesus is after heart change. He wants that, our heart to change. He's calling us to change our mind from the temporary to the eternal, from the things that are passing by to the things that are permanent. And make no mistake, there is a reward waiting with Jesus in eternity. Are we willing to exchange the temporary for the eternal? You know, when you begin to store up treasure in heaven, make kingdom investments, you'll begin to discover real peace and real joy in your life and real purpose. I was helping somebody move this past weekend, and you know, when you always feel bad when you ask somebody to do something, you know, and take time to do that. It seems like you're like, oh man, I'm really sorry I took your whole Saturday. And honestly, I now my muscles hurt. Every muscle I have is new again. I mean, it's just rediscovered. All right, and you know, I'm tired, but I said, you know, what a blessing it was to be able to help you move into your new place. You know, I got friends that have helped me do tons of stuff. And I don't know, I mean, I'm guessing they feel that same way. I mean, what a blessing it was just to serve and to help, to be there with you. You know, share this moment in your life with you. I mean, to me, those are kingdom investments that we make, that we have the opportunities to make. You know, we don't have time, we don't have whatever. Yeah. That's always going to be there. But man, take that step. If you've never done that, try that and see what God does with it. I know you'll find purpose, you'll find joy, you'll find peace in the midst of that. And most importantly, you'll be allowing God to begin reorienting your heart more faithfully toward Him. And you'll begin to see people through God's lens, through the way that He sees people. And you begin to live that out. And you can be sure that there's a reward in heaven. I think of the people in Hebrews 11:6 that were just so faithful and committed to God. And they had they never saw any of the promises that He had given them on this side of heaven. But they trusted Him with the outcome. And they trusted that when we get there, we'll be there with Jesus. And that's the reward in and of itself. And our reward will be there in heaven with Him. They never saw any of it. I want to look at, let's go to one more passage. That's it. I promise. We're done. Hebrews 11:6. Look at this. Hebrews 11:6. And if you have the Bible app, you know this is the verse of the day, right? And it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. We sincerely seek Him with everything that we have, with all our time and talents and treasures, and make kingdom investments. He rewards those that are faithful to following Him and committed to Him. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your presence here today. Thank You for Your words. God, they are convicting, God. But, God, we're grateful for Your truth that You speak to us in love. We know You love us that much, that You're not going to let us be destroyed, God, that You want to save us. You have saved us. You have given Your life through Christ for us. God, help us to make those kingdom investments and those sacrifices that will help us store up our treasure in the right places, in the place where it will last forever, Father, and lives will be changed for eternity. God, we're grateful for those glimpses that You give us along the way, Lord, that just shows Your faithfulness, and we are so thankful for that. Help us to trust You with the outcomes, Lord. Help us to be faithful planters, and God, I'm just so grateful for this cafe community and the ways that You have used their lives to make kingdom investments, to make to make an impact that will last forever. We love you so much. Thanks for allowing us to be a part of your plan and just to walk with us through all of it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.